Hello, I'm Mariëtte Snyman. Welcome to Calm, Clear and Helpful, a weekly podcast series on taking good care of yourself and others. Introducing you to wellness professionals ready to assist with sincerity and care. Today's topic is Navigate Your Unknown, Lessons from Open Water Swimming Boot Camp. My guest is Gail Cox, transformational coach, facilitator, and change consultant from Cape Town. Welcome, Gail.
Thank you so much, Mariëtte. I'm thrilled to be here.
And to our listeners, thanks for joining us. After our conversation, it will be fun question time. You know, Gail, I love interviewing a wellness expert who's had an adventure and extracted insights from that lived experience. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. But before we come to your swim in Mallorca and the leadership lessons that surfaced through your adventure, it's clear to me that in the course of your career, you've walked many paths. Could you tell us more?
Well, not intentionally, but it certainly has been a meander, which I have thoroughly enjoyed. And I suppose my most recent work or most relevant work that I'm doing now in my life, which kind of brings everything that I've done together, is that I help people learn how to thrive, with an emphasis on learn how, because thriving is not, you know, for a certain group of people, it's for everyone. And how I teach people how to thrive is through coaching and facilitation and teaching. And I work with leaders and teams in business. And I also have a private practice, a private stress management practice. And there I work with adults in flux and change. And I think if I was to highlight the thing that I spend a lot of time working with people is helping them understand what, or to helping them to have an experience of what not thriving feels like and is like for them, and also an experience of what thriving does feel like for them, so that they can understand and get comfortable with the difference for themselves and start to navigate their lives in different ways.
That sounds so sensible, and I always think of thriving as incorporating a sense of feeling alive.
Mm.
Yeah, which brings me to my next question. Have you always been an adventurous person?
Yeah, I mean, not in the way the world sees adventure, maybe. I think from an early age, I've loved learning new things, and I've always been really interested in people, and particularly people who think differently to me. So in my world, that was quite adventurous. But if you're talking about physically adventurous, absolutely no. So my trip to Mallorca was really about rewriting that story a little bit. So yes and no. Mm-hmm. Yes, in the ways that were adventurous for me, and no, in the traditional adventurous way. But you know, never too old to try and to learn new things. And so enjoying this chapter as well.
Yeah. In your pre-talk, you said that for some time, it felt as if your world was getting small. Could you say more about that?
Yeah, I think for me personally, coming out of COVID and exploring doing my work online more and more, as opposed to in person, I think was quite difficult for me. It was terribly convenient. And I settled into that really well. But for me personally, in order to grow, I need to move in the world. I need to get out. And so the way that I did my work became very convenient, but moving from my office at home to my kitchen was just not enough for me. And along with that, I went through menopause, which was a very difficult journey for me. And so there was just these little subtle shrinkings that happened in terms of confidence, in terms of energy, you know, and doing most of my work online. And I just noticed after time that it just, my world was, felt like it was getting quite small.
You also mentioned that along with that, you felt the need to redefine yourself. And why was that?
I think just to go back to my journey with menopause, there was such a lot that went on for me, which included a real sense of loss and grief. And for someone who placed a lot of importance on being quick off the mark, being cognitively very sharp, some of what came with menopause I found incredibly difficult. And so going through that tunnel and then slowly really getting sick of my own story about it, and then finding the strength and the grit to find a new way. And I have to say to anyone who's listening out there who's going through menopause, I promise you there is light at the end of the tunnel. I literally feel like my neurons are firing like they've never fired before. And I feel smarter than I've ever felt in my life. So that was a really tricky journey for me. And coming out of that, redefining myself was really part of the celebration of that.
Yeah, that is a whole different topic, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And there may be women listening who might be tempted to contact you and speak to you about the light at the end of the tunnel. You wanted to do something very brave and you chose open water swimming in Mallorca. Why this choice?
So it was just serendipity, really. I have a really dear friend who I've known for many, many years who is a triathlete coach, and she lives in Ireland and she trains triathletes in the open water. And so she does these camps once a year. And she said to me on the phone, "Why don't you just come?" And was the way she said, "just come," that I was like, "I totally am going to do that." So I'd never done open water swimming before. And the door opened and I just stepped straight through it.
Could you just tell someone like me who has no idea what open water swimming really is? Could you just explain what it is?
Sure. Well, I can explain it from my experience. So it's really swimming in the open ocean. It can be the ocean or it can be a lake, but it's where there's kind of no boundaries. There's a direction and it's all well planned, but it's very different to swimming in a pool. And you swim differently as well. So it's not necessarily about speed. It's about endurance and it's about swimming for a longer time. So your strokes are slow and steady and it's very different to swimming in a race, for instance. And in open water swimming, you swim with a group. So you don't swim on your own. Mm. That pretty much sums it up.
Thank you. In one of your LinkedIn posts, you mentioned that one can say yes to a challenge despite not being entirely ready. In other words, respond when your friend says, "just come."
Yes, exactly. And so what's behind that as well, and I think this is important to emphasize, is some sense of you're going to be held. Someone's got your back. It's safe enough to fail, if you like. So I knew that I wasn't going to be just thrown out into the deep water. And I knew that I had choice in terms of what I could participate in and what I could say no to. So I think that there is some discernment that is required behind any yes, but not too much discernment.
Mm. Yeah, that's very sensible because you know and trust your friend.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Gail, how did you prepare for your Mallorca adventure?
Well, evidently not so well. So I live in Cape Town and the sea, Mallorca is the Mediterranean. It's warm and the sea in Cape Town is harsher. It's colder. It's not as safe. And so I spent most of my time training in a pool at the gym. And I knew that there was a gap between what was needed for me to participate fully in New Yorker and where I was. But I was confident enough that I did enough in the pool in terms of stroke training and distance to be able to at least have some fun. So that is how I trained. And certainly post the adventure, there are things that I could have done differently. I wasn't entirely ready, but who is ever entirely ready for anything? But I did enough. I did enough here to be able to participate in Mallorca.
I'd love you to describe your experience in Mallorca.
So I went with some trepidation. I was also quite anxious because it was with a group of triathletes. And I'm by no means a triathlete in any shape or form. And so I was excited and I was incredibly nervous. And it was more than I could ever have expected it to be. It was just the most incredible and magical experience for me. It was 10 days in a totally different context. And what that gave me is that a real sense of my senses were piqued. And everything was new and everything was amplified. So the joy was amplified and the difficulty was amplified. And I found that quite invigorating. It's like I became an explorer again, like I connected with a sense of my ancestrage, if you like, of navigating my way through the unknown, my internal unknown, and the unknown of how I would be in this context with people that I didn't know. So that was the first thing that really stood out for me. And I remember on the first day that I arrived, I went out for a swim with my friend. And the thing that caught me off guard was when you swim with a turf float, which is like this inflated balloon behind you so that you can kind of hop on it if you're tired. But you can't stand, obviously, because you're in the open water. And just the sense of not really understanding your place in the world and everything that came with that in terms of my thoughts and what was going on inside of my body. So it was quite a shock. And I remember at one point just feeling like a panic. And I turned and my friend was there. She was a little bit behind me. And I just looked at her and she just looked at me and she said, "I've got you. I've got you." And then to be able to move forward and then to start hearing me say that to myself, "I've got you, I've got you." It was just incredible to meet my own edge and take care of myself at my own edge because other people were taking care of me. I think that was really profound for me. And I think swimming with triathletes, I had made this assumption about who they would be in the world and just their stories and the things that they've overcome. And quite a few of the triathletes that were on the camp had really struggled with swimming. So they were brilliant on cycling and running, but swimming was really difficult for them. And so I met such amazing people that had just pushed the boundaries of their own fear. I remember one triathlete saying to me, every single time he gets in the sea, his brain is like a pinball machine. It just doesn't stop. That anxiety, the brain trying to sort out what's actually going on here. How do I make sense of the space I'm in? And yeah, so I just met incredible people and I just had these assumptions of who these people would be and they just weren't. I was able to smash those assumptions and that was quite freeing. Yeah, I would say that pretty much sums it up and just, there were three coaches on the camp and having three people who were looking out for everyone all the time. They were standing on the shore, looking out to the horizon, working out the tides, making sure it was safe for us. And so with their leadership, we could just really play and feel safe to do our own thing and to grow in that way.
What did you learn regarding leaving your comfort zone?
So what was really beautiful and liberating for me personally, because I am a coach, is I was able to really meet the experience of, okay, this is out of my comfort zone. What does this feel like? What is the story in my head? What's going on in my body? And then be able to also be discerning about, okay, this is no longer out of my comfort zone. This is now on the edge of panic or overwhelm. What does this feel like? So for me, it was a great exploration of my internal world and understanding my comfort zone, my growth zone, and then what subtle changes happened for me to know that I'm now pushing beyond a limit for myself. So that was really great. What was unexpected was how loud my story got through as the days went on. You know, it's kind of the first two or three days, you're like, this is great, this is just amazing. And then you start to get tired and it's a lot every day. And then noticing the irritation, you know, in my mind and in my heart, the resistance, how exhilaration turns into frustration. It was just the most incredible experience for me because I'm so interested in will and drive and motivation and resistance in human growth. And it was just the perfect environment for me to explore that in a deeper way.
Oh, that fascinates me. May I ask, as an aside here, does it change as you go along, the resistance?
Oh, yes. And so also noticing the resistance and then being able to name the resistance and then offering some self-compassion, right? Or you've got this, it's okay, it's scary, you know? And then just watching that resistance change and morph and reduce and go down. And also, you know what, as well, it's a bit of a sense of humor about yourself. Like, oh, there we go again. you're really going to make this about the wind or the sand or your wet costume. Are you really going to make it about that? So also just holding the humor, you know, through it all in terms of the experience I was having as a human being, you know, outside of my comfort zone.
One of the lessons you learned concerns being part of a team and relying on others. You have mentioned that. Would you like to say a little more about the team?
Oh, that was so, so invigorating and so inspiring. You know, I think in a world where we seem to be so divided and because we're very stressed and overwhelmed, quite often that plays out into very kind of me versus you individualistic behavior. And I just the sense of team was incredible because as open water swimmers, you never swim alone. So there's immediate sense of community. And what I really loved about watching these triathletes is every single one of them was not scared to ask for what they needed from a fellow triathlete. You know, some were stronger swimmers, some needed help with other stuff, and they asked for what they wanted, and people were happy to support them. And we also trained in a pool. So we did sunrise swims in the morning, and then midday we would do these training sessions in this 50-meter Olympic pool. And every day that we started one of those drills or training sessions, the coach would say, find someone to chase and find someone to encourage. And that just set the tone. And everybody worked with everyone else. And it just kind of, it was like an unwritten value system that you would all work together. And even in the sea, the open sea, always looking around you, who do I need to be swimming with? Who's falling behind? How do we bring them back into the fold? If someone wanted to go back, fine, who's going to go back with that person? There was no judgment and everybody was there. They had their own individual goals of what they wanted to achieve, but there was always this collective sense of what are we doing here together?
And Gail, what did you learn regarding leadership?
I learned so much. It's incredible how my reflections keep coming. I think the one thing that really stood out for me was that I work in organizations where there's a lot of change, and we're talking about change all the time, and we're talking about our resistance to change as human beings. And in my stress management practice, I work with individuals going through some sort of transition or many transitions at the same time. And I think the thing that struck me about being in the sea is that it shifts all the time. It's constantly shifting. And I noticed that when I was resistant to that shifting, it was difficult to swim well. So I got a sense of how the shifting in the ocean married up with the shifting inside of me. And then it no longer became change as an external thing. It's kind of, I was part of the shifting, moving experience. And I think for leaders, my personal opinion, if leaders are not prepared to really explore the full texture of their internal world and learn how to fully experience and manage that for themselves in order to navigate shifting contexts and landscapes all the time, if we as leaders are not prepared to do that, we're just never going to step into that flow and that fullness of what it means to lead business and people. So for me, it was, how can we spend more time really investing in understanding what's going on for us first? And when we're able to do that, we will be able to navigate the context of leading people differently. And I think that, you know, there was one experience that I had. So we did these swims out to an island. So it was quite a fast swim, and then you've got to go around the island. And I actually couldn't get around the island. As I came up to the island, there was something about not being able to see around the corner that I just wasn't able to get past on this trip. And I think we spend a lot of time as leaders being afraid of what we can't see and then trying our best to turn that into predictability and all of that kind of thing. Planning. And I think planning and setting goals is really important. But there's something about our abilities as leaders to stop pretending that we know what's going to be around the corner and start working with what our discomfort is and what is the discomfort in the people that that we lead, and how can we work with that in healthy ways so that we keep moving forward and we don't get stuck and we can go beyond the barriers. For me on this journey, I couldn't get around that island. I was just too frightened. But there's no reason why there isn't an opportunity to start that again or to do that again or to go back and try. And so I think for leaders to really look more closely at what is it like right now in the world to lead where things are so uncertain and unclear, and what is the opportunity for us to learn new things and to lead differently going forward.
A quick note on what I do. I'm a content entrepreneur creating podcasts and articles on living a happier and healthier life by interviewing coaches, therapists, and other wellness experts from over the world. You'll find this content on my website, marietsneeman.co.za, and it's there to help you find just the right helping professional when you need one. The section Up Close and Personal on my website offers you a glimpse of the person behind many of the experts I feature. If you're a wellness expert keen on getting more in-person or online clients or creating worldwide awareness of an issue close to your heart, let's talk about co-creating a podcast or article, or perhaps featuring you in a South African magazine. You will find more information under Services on my website. To each listener, no matter your age, occupation, or where you live, how about creating your very own personal audio recording with me as a one-of-a-kind gift to someone you deeply care for? In this private interview with me, you can share childhood memories with your children or grandchildren, record a bird's eye view of your career or business, or speak about an unforgettable trip. The possibilities are endless. To find out more, just click on Gift Podcasts on my website. Now, back to my guest. Then I'd like to ask about an arresting LinkedIn post where you said, it's all in the breathing, even in water, especially in water.
That was a whole other experience and journey, is this getting really intimate with my breath in the water. So I've done a lot of meditation. And in the work that I do in my stress management practice, a lot of what I do is working with breathing. And it's quite invitational because not everybody wants to do that kind of work. And I find other ways to do it with people who find it difficult to focus on their breath, etc. But there's something about being in the water, like you have no choice but to start working with your breathing in a different way. And because you are breathing out into water, which is, I think the coach said it's 700 times, thicker than the air. So it's a lot of effort. And, if your breathing is not, if you don't get into a rhythm with your breathing, your whole swim you just don't get into flow. And what was particularly interesting for me is that there were a couple of breathing exercises that we did before we went out on a swim. And it kind of is almost like acclimatizing you to get into the rhythm to swim. And I was fascinated by that. And I thought, it makes sense to do that in the water, but why aren't we doing that out in the world as well? As leaders, as people in relationship with other people, is how do we prepare in a moment to settle ourselves and get into our rhythm with our breath and then move forward? Yeah, so I'm not sure if that answers your question, but that is what it felt like for me.
It does. It certainly makes one aware of that point. As you say, settling into your breathing, focusing on that. And to me, that ties up with something another podcast guest said about having intentions for a certain segment that's coming, and that reminds me of that in a certain way. So I think I would like to remember to set an intention for, say, the next half an hour or whatever, and then include my breathing in that.
I think exactly. I think that's beautiful. That really is in essence what I was meaning.
And any other lessons you brought back from your adventure?
There are three things for me that were three lessons I learned about swimming in the open water that I can see is very helpful for me in terms of in my wider life. And one is know the sea. Get to know the sea. So the sea doesn't mean any harm, but it can do great harm. So you don't want to just, decide today that you're going to go swim in the sea. You really need to get to know the sea. And if you don't know the sea, make sure that you've got someone with you who does. Find your tribe. My friend's brand is Never Swim Alone. And I think that's incredible. Find your tribe. And always wear a toe float, which is this thing that you tie around your waist and it floats, which is just so lovely because when you get tired, you can just hop onto it. You kind of lean over it. You know, it's like an adult water wing and you can just take a pause. And so those three things became quite prevalent for me in the 10 days that I was there. And I thought, you know, in terms of leadership and leading ourselves in the world, it's kind of know your terrain and your context, right? The same way that you need to know the sea, like know your terrain, explore your terrain, notice how it shifts, absolutely find your tribe, right? And practice the pause and rest. Create space for recovery. In sport, they talk about that a lot. Even the stroke when you bring your arm out of the water, it's called a recovery position. And I just wish in organizations we would talk more about that. Is how are you recovering? Where is your rest space? How are you practicing your pause? So those three things, know the sea, never swim alone, and always wear your toe floats.
Thank you, Gail. If someone is listening and they're considering an experience that will take them way out of their comfort zone, what would you say to them?
Just go for it. Just go for it. You know, life is messy. It doesn't have to be perfect. It was 10 days of, for me, exhilaration. It was also really tough. And there were days and hours where I missed home, where I'd had enough, where I was tired. But it was so worth it. And, you know, it sounds cliched, but if we want to grow, we need to move out of our comfort zone. And not everybody is going to get an opportunity to go to Mallorca like I did. But the smallest little things can help you shift, even if it's just shifting, moving out of your current noise and moving into another space, whether it's in nature, whether it's going for a walk. Just do it. Just keep changing up your energy states and just stay curious. But just do it.
Do you have any further adventurous plans?
Well, my life is one big adventure, isn't yours? So, I mean, I think part of the work that I do is I love to find the extraordinary in the ordinary. And so I have adventures every day. But you know what? I want to go back. I want to go back and I want to swim around that island. That's quite a big thing for me, is because I couldn't get around that island. And I've got a lot more yeses in me. So let's see what the universe has to offer me. And some serendipitous moment may arise and I might say yes to something super adventurous again.
Yeah, I'm watching your LinkedIn posts, which I love reading.
Thank you.
Gail, where can listeners learn more about your work?
So I have a website, which is Gail Cox Coaching, www.gailcoxcoaching.com. I am on Instagram and on Facebook, but I'm not very good at keeping that up to date. Perhaps I will now, since I have some stories to tell. But the best place to find me is on LinkedIn or on my website.
Thank you. And I'll attach the link to your website to the podcast.
Thank you.
Now, if I may, your fun question.
Yes, go for it.
We're leaving practicalities behind, Gail. And I was wondering, in an ideal world, which aspect of Mallorca would you have liked to bring home with you to South Africa?
Well, I can tell you which aspect I wouldn't like to bring back. Can I tell you that?
Yes, certainly.
So I got bitten by a fish. I did. There was this fish. It bit me. It like almost like a rabbit gnawing at a carrot.
My goodness.
And I looked down because the sea is so clear. And here is Nemo, literally Nemo, the colors of Nemo, but eating me.
Oh, no.
And I gave that fish a little whack and he looked so confused. We both survived the experience. but I would like him to just stay there in the ocean. And the thing that I would love to bring back is that warm water. Oh, my word. It's so beautiful. And it's so clear that it really is a treat.
Thank you, Gail, for sharing the wisdom you gained from this adventure. And once again, I'd just like to say that in your posts, I would really recommend them to listeners because you write about it in such a poetic form. And thank you for sharing.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for the opportunity. I really enjoyed this. And yet another yes. And a great experience. So thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. And to our listeners, it's good of you to join us. If you found this episode meaningful, please share it with someone you care about. Go to my website, marietsneeman.co.za, for this episode's podcast notes and for free podcasts and articles on how to live a happier and healthier life and have more fulfilling relationships. To follow me on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn, just search for Mariette Sneeman Journalist. The podcast series, Calm, Clear, and Helpful, is produced by me with original music by Mart Marie Sneeman. Catch you next Tuesday at 9.